This, I'm sure from a little bit different angle, actually it's the same angle, but it's a little bit different truth today. It's going to sound like I talk about a lot of things, but what I want to talk about is the table of the Lord. I want to talk about communion, the real communion, the real meaning of that. So I want to talk about life. How to get life, the importance of life. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew, the 4th chapter. I'm going to start off by just identifying or saying that there are two kinds of life that I want to bring out. Two kinds of life. And one of them is eternal life. Eternal life. And the second one is what we're going to term for today anyway, body life. Okay? Two kinds of life, eternal life and body life. Now when we talk about eternal life, I'm not talking about an extended period in heaven. I'm talking about the very life of God Himself. Okay? In other words, we're not referring to eternity per se, that's coming up. We're talking about that life that is eternal. And we're talking about life that is eternal. And of course, to truly understand eternal means without beginning, without end. Eternal life. So that's not us anyway. That's not us extended forever and ever. Because we still have a beginning. We're talking about the very life of God. Alright? And when we talk about body life, we're talking about something that God has done to create the body of Christ. And we're talking about the flow of what that relates to also. But I want to say, right off the bat, that I want you to be thinking of the distinctions and how they work together, these two, because there are some people that just talk about eternal life, meaning the life of Christ and, you know, that, but they do not relate that as a thing that should be worked into a body. However, there are other people who talk about body life, and boy, they're wanting everybody to get together and be together and, you know, nobody scattered and all this sort of thing. But they're not really living after eternal life, and in fact, some of the things that work in them are divisive, even to the truth of body life. So we're going to talk about these things. But the only key for anything, any problems that we have, the true key is going to be life. Not works, not even understanding. Yes, understanding of life, but not understanding in itself, not knowing deep things or whatever. But knowing life, knowing the Lord in the two aspects that He brought about. Now the reason why I'm relating this to the table of the Lord, to communion, is because at communion there are two main elements that you take of. There's the bread and there's the wine. And that's the understanding right here that we're going to begin to dig into a little bit. We're going to understand communion. In other words, we're not just going to today, we're not going to take bread and wine. We're going to be bread and wine. Yes. We're going to have communion. And anytime we do have communion, there's a spirit and an understanding that God wants us to have. And there are many who do that ignorantly. You know, they don't understand what they're doing. And so, but we want to have a true understanding, not just of the symbolism of bread and wine, but we want to have a true understanding so that we are flowing in communion, or the word communion is the same word for fellowship. We want to have fellowship with God and with one another. But I got news for you. We want to have it according to His version or His understanding of communion. Okay? His understanding. Not about us developing on earth after 2,000 years a religious concept and just going through the motions. It's about us entering into His understanding, therefore His fellowship. and then fellowship within that realm. Matthew chapter 4, and you're familiar with these things. There are the temptations where Satan tempted Jesus. Let's begin with verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, now, you know, it's interesting, Matthew, that says when the tempter came. So, who's that talking about? The devil, okay? So you can say the devil is a tempter, okay? So if you're ever tempted, a lot of times it's the devil. And the devil's job, what he's paid for, is to tempt you. Okay, that's, you need to understand that. Oh, my God, what's going on? You know, it's the devil, and he's tempted you. Okay, is that hard? We need to understand that's his job. We gave him that title so we could all know what he does for a living. When the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. All right. This is the beginning scripture, and I want you to see two things going on here. One is bread, and the other one, and one is living by bread, because remember I said we're going to talk about life. And how to live this life. How to live this life. And one aspect of that is by bread. But more important than bread is His Word, or His eternal life. Receive Him, because the Word is not just Scripture. The Word is not just sayings. He is the Word. He is the living Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Alright, so we're talking about the Word being the expression of who He is. The Word being receiving His heart. The Word receiving Him. Okay? So, Jesus says here, man shall not live by bread alone. Okay? Now you can live by bread, but man should not live by bread alone. And you should live within a body and flow within a body. Amen? Anybody have a problem with that? And I'm not talking about this body, I'm talking about a body of believers. But man cannot live by that alone. And anybody that emphasizes that above the Lord Himself is wrong, because there's a difference between my body and me. There's a difference between Him and His body. Come on, that's good stuff. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between Him and His body. When you start emphasizing His body and the flow of His body and everything like that, and then you start dividing from others based on that, then you're dividing the body. You don't even believe what you're talking about. Hello? You know what I'm saying? Because you're dividing up, saying, well, people aren't flowing with the body, or people aren't, taking into consideration the whole body, or people aren't, there's all sorts of ways that you can put this. But the point is that the reason why you're upset is because you're not feeding off of every word that has proceeded out of His mouth. You're more concerned with His body than you are with Him. Okay? So, man cannot live. He cannot live by bread alone. And you will eventually stagnate, and you will eventually miss the truth if the first truth in your heart is not Christ filling you, His Word filling you, His life, His wine, His bread, the wine of communion representing the blood of Jesus. The life is in the blood. Amen? Okay? The life is in the blood. So, the first concern, there ain't no reason to jump up and go out and do anything until we are filled with His life. Amen? Alright. Then, His life can manifest in His body, not your life or your plans in His body. Well, I think His body ought to get up and go over there and do that. Well, I don't think what He does with His body is any of your business. You know what I mean? I think that's His business. You know what I mean? He should get, if He wants to get up and go over there, I think He's fully capable of doing that. Okay? We're going to walk it. Well, you know, why do we say that? Because we don't really claim that in His body. We claim that as our body. Really, in our thinking, when we get to that place, we're not looking at Him. We're not looking at the body of Christ. We're looking at a body of believers. We're saying, I believe this body of believers ought to do this. And I believe this body of believers. You know what I think? I believe this body of believers ought to get out of the way and let Christ live in His body. So if I believe that, that might give you an understanding of me. And that is, I would first emphasize to you that you need to know Jesus, and Christ needs to live in you individually first before we start determining how we're going to take the world with His body. See? And the more people that have Christ formed in them, first of all, the less division you're going to have when you get ready to do any body thing. But you're going to have all kinds of division with people holding the banner of the body. You know, I mean, there's people picketing Gore, you know, Bush, walking around right now. You know, well, in the body of Christ, they don't have picket signs, but they do. They walk around going, body, body. You know, and then somebody walks up to someone with life and says, you need to, you know, you're overemphasizing Jesus. What we need is this. And I tell you what we need is His life, so His life will animate His body. Okay? This is good. This is not bad stuff. This shouldn't hurt your feelings too much. I'm saving that for later. Alright. So, turn with me to the Gospel of John now. Yeah, you're already starting off in this shape. We're headed for the trip. Alright. Man shall not live by bread alone. But he's saying, you eat bread, you ingest bread, you take it in, but you also eat his word, you take it in, and it becomes part of you. Okay? So in John chapter 4, let's look at verse 32, I think it is. This is Jesus when he was met the woman at the well. John chapter 4, verse 32. And he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And look down to verse 34. Jesus said unto them, my meat or my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Alright. There is something that is feeding Jesus. It's to do the will of someone else. Here's Jesus. Here's someone else. Here's the Father. Here's Jesus. It is to do the will of someone else. It is to finish the will and the purpose of someone else. Jesus, as the Son of God, is pretty much sufficient all by himself. Is pretty much powerful. Is pretty much the Son of God. Is pretty much, you know, has conquered sin, has pretty much lives above all the earth and all that kind of stuff. All by himself, he's pretty much sufficient, but guess what? God has a plan. God has a will, and the Son is the example to us of how we should live and how we should relate. And that is, not my will, but thine be done. Not my plan, but thine be done. Not my way, but in your way. Not my method, but your method. Not my spirit, but your spirit. Not I, but Christ. That's us, and we're relating that now, that whatever I'm saying is the relationship of Jesus to the Father and the way that he has communion or eats at the table of the Lord, we should eat at the table of the Lord. What I'm saying is a lot of us are not having communion as he understands communion, and it is his communion. He is the one who instituted communion. We are not eating at the table of the Lord. We come to our own table. We come with our own food. We come with our own plans. We come with our own time. Does anybody think about the scriptures here? Did anybody think about 1 Corinthians 11 when I started talking about that? When you come together to have communion, you are not pleasing the Lord, for one comes early and one comes later and one comes to eat a whole lot and others don't have anything and you see what I mean? That's what he's talking about. He's saying, when you come to the table of the Lord, when you come to communion, it's not about what you have to eat. It's not about what you have to give. It's about what you are doing in relationship to him, his table, his will, not my will, but thine be done. Now this is relating to, first and foremost, eternal life. Not my life, but your life. Not just doing whatever I want to, but living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know what? Every word. It didn't say the ones that are comfortable for me. It said every word. That's the good ones, the promises, and that's the other ones too. That's the blessed ones, and that's the I'll get you it. Or stop it once, or go do this once, or whatever. You know, I understand on every word that proceeds out of his mouth is good enough. Why? Because if it was not every word, then I would pretty much be living my life coming here picking what I like and thinking that I was eating at the table of the Lord, when in reality I wasn't. I was picking and choosing off of his table, but I was not eating at the table of the Lord. Jesus said, I came to do thy will. I came to finish your work. That's what feeds me. That's the table of the Lord. That's the table that I eat at.
Yeah.
If you're already lost, we're just going to be left to this. So communion, communing with the Lord, is coming to his table. It's coming to eat of him, first his life, and then his body, not your life and your body, not your time. You know, well, I've got to go, so I've got to go do this, so I've got to get here, and I'll eat real fast. And, you know, well, Paul said, you're not doing right. You know, said, well, I'm really hungry, so I brought a whole lunch. But back then, they had literal love feasts. They had huge feasts. They didn't just eat a little bread and wine for communion, just so you know that. But Jesus did take from that Passover bread and wine, and we'll talk about that some more. All right, so we're talking about living. Living by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. And wanting to live. And this is what you live by. This is what Jesus lived by. Are you hungry? Are you, you haven't had anything to eat? Lord, we know you must be hungry. And he said, you know, hey, I'm eating. I have a table. There's a table that the priest on the earth cannot eat of. Anybody familiar with that scripture? It's in Hebrews. There's a table that we have the privilege of eating of that they don't. It's this table right here that I'm talking about. It is the table of his feast. It is the table of the feast of the Lord. It is the table of the Lord's table where we eat of. I came. What am I here for? His will. Not to find his will for me, but his will. And to finish his work. What work is that? The work that he desires, not what I desire. Well, I'm really good at so-and-so, so put me in that place. Well, what if the Lord says, well, I don't want your good stuff. I want you to fail so bad that you fall on your knees, you cry out to me, and I begin to come through you because you have no ability of your own. You don't hear a lot of that nowadays. You know, we all search out our own personal good gifts and we utilize those for the Lord. And in reality, a lot of times Moses said, I can't speak. God said, don't worry, I'll be with you now. You know, I'll give you Aaron and he'll speak. But I'm not good at this. I don't care. I'm not eloquent. That's good. I don't want you to be eloquent. I want you to be so inadequate that I become your adversary. I want you to become weak so that you are made perfect in my strength, saith the Lord. Huh? That's scripture. Well, it's not just scripture, folks. This is it, okay? I'm looking at you now. This is it. This isn't just scripture talk. This isn't Sunday sermon. This is the Word of God. This is what this whole thing's about. Alright, communion, the table of the Lord. Let's go over to John chapter 6. And let's look first at verse 53. I tell you what, let's go to 48 first. John chapter 6, verse 48. I am that bread of life. Another place he says, I am the bread of life. Alright. What is the subject that we're talking about here? We're talking about life. Okay. And we're talking about communing in a certain way of ordering your life. Fellowshipping in, not my life, but another. Eating at the table that is the Lord's table, not my body, not my life, not my body, not my life. Eternal life, and his body.
Okay? Bread and wine.
So Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I'm not just, I'm the wheat bread of good taste. Or of healthiness. I'm the white bread of smoothness. You know, that's what we're looking for. Oh, Jesus is the white bread of smoothness. I'm the bread of life, okay? You know, it's about life. And it's not about your life, but it's about my life. So Jesus is talking about bread. This is all really good. I mean, coming out of the fourth chapter, where he says, my meat, da 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 da, into the next chapter, he goes, it's really good. He goes right on into, feeding the 5,000 is just before this, and he gathers up the fragments of the bread, and he says, I don't let anything be lost. And he says that later on, he says, I'm coming to do the will of the Father and let none be lost. I mean, this is it. He's seeing the bread as his body. He's seeing the bread, not the gathering of people, not the 5,000 as his body, not the 12 disciples that are faithfully with him every day as his body. He's seeing the bread as his body because that was his concept from the very beginning. Not individuals gathered together, working together. That is not his model. Individuals gathered together, working together, is not his body. That's not bread. It's not. I'm telling you absolutely, positively, that he doesn't look at it like that. Jesus didn't sit there at the communion table and break off his finger and say, this is my body, eat it. Was this his body? Yes. Were these guys his body? Yes. But not in his understanding. He took bread and broke it. He said, this is my body. You need to understand my body. We'll explain that a little more in just a minute. In the past, I've shared on bread. Some of you remember that? But it's important to understand the life of the wine and the life of the body, and to see a separation from those. We'll get into it a little more as we go. Okay, let's skip on down to verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eateth my flesh and drinketh my body hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my body is drink indeed. We might as well just keep reading. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Okay? So do you understand what it's saying here? He's saying that to eat my flesh and drink my blood is to dwell in me like I dwell in the Father and the Father dwells in me. This is the table of the Lord. The table of the Lord is not commuting that there is a God. The table of the Lord is not believing that Jesus died for you. The table of the Lord is to feast on what he feasts on. And that's what he says here, my blood and dwelleth in me, and I in him, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. They said, the Father sent me, and I live by the Father. And I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, you talk about a communion between the Father and the Son. We're not talking about two people, two individuals kind of getting going, how you doing there, Pops? Well, good. Jesus, how's the Christ business going? Oh, man. Woo! I'm heavy, man. We're going after it.
Yeah.
You know? Well, that's real good, son. I'm real proud of you. Well, thank you, Daddy. All glory to you. Well, I'm sorry. You know, that sounds fun. But I'll tell you what, that's what we think communion is. And they're both going, they're real chummy. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know? We think that's it. Oh, they're really communion now, man. And we're having some communion. No, we're not. Not what he calls communion. We haven't even come to the table of the Lord. We have not even come to the table of the Lord. We might be happy. We might be healthy. We might be jumpy. You know, that's what I'm talking about. We might be, laughing or crying or whatever together. We might be all this stuff, but as long as we're just a bunch of individual seeds that have not been broken up and crushed up and brought into a form called bread, we don't know. Beans. In fact, we're closer to beans than bread. Buddy and I, we were talking about this. I got invited down to a church down in San Antonio. It's called the Free Holiness Church. That was the Spanish church. Free Holiness. Being, these beans and free
Three holies.
Three holies.
Three holies.
Three holies, church.
You go to Spanish church, huh? Three holies, church.
Whatever you know about frijoles and all that kind of stuff, you know that it's not the best food to be eaten. Bread is the better one because it becomes one. And then you have body life. And body not life is not a bunch of individual seeds doing the same thing together. If I don't get anything else across today, I'd like to get that across. Body life is not a bunch of individual seeds divided up that are divided against other individual seeds within the body because they don't get together with the body in the way that they think. Hello? Because everything they're doing, they're claiming, they're preaching, trying to spread body life at the same time being divided with the body. Because they're not drinking the full table, they're not eating, they're maybe quote unquote eating his flesh, as they're not, but they might think they are, but they're not drinking his blood. So obviously communion, and Jesus is standing there, Jesus is standing there and goes, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, if I stand there. I wonder how come they don't react more. I mean, if I'm standing, I'm going, what? Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Okay. What the threat of rain? All of my work is in vain. All my work is in vain. I'm thinking, what? We're moving into vampirism. People can think that. You can think that. If somebody said, Jesus said that, we go, following Jesus is all about being vampires. Or if you say that, somebody else can say, what those people think over there? They believe in being vampires. New creation, but vampires. See, it's just all in your perception, but your perception didn't work anything. You need to understand his view. His view, his heart, what he's saying. And he's talking about a table of communion. He's talking about a place that you come to in your walk and in your way where you commune with him in his heart, in his table, and what feeds him. Amen. What feeds him. And what ought to be feeding you. You ought to be feasting on and eating on. So Jesus, he says it as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father. So the Father is living, but the Father lives in me. See, Jesus is alive, but I got news, he ain't living in a lot of people, he just kind of visits. I feel the presence of the Lord here. Well, you ought to do more than feel the presence of the Lord. You ought to have his life functioning in you 24 hours a day.
Yes.
Come on. It's not about just a, I feel the Lord. Well, what do you do when you don't feel the Lord? What did Jesus do hanging on the cross? I feel the Father. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. Because it feels right. It didn't feel right. But he had something deeper working in him. Broken bread. Poured out wine.
Yes.
How that wine get that poured out? Let's see. Let me finish reading the scriptures here. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. All right, we're talking about how to live. How to live for God. This is how you live for God. You have Jesus live in you. And this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue is a talking. All right. So here he's talking about this table, this union. He said in chapter 4, my will is to do somebody else's will, and my work is to do somebody else's work. Then he says in chapter 6, you need to come to this same table, and you need to eat bread or flesh, bread
You need to eat the body of another and become one in that. And you need to drink in the life of another and let that life be your life. And then he says, that's how I live. I live by the Father. And you too should. And I live in Him and He lives in me. And he says, this is that bread. This is that plan. This is the table of the Lord. This is true communion. And if you're not doing that, you're just saying, I'm a Christian and I'm for God. You're not bread and you may not even be wine. You're not communion. You're making your communion believing in equal things. You know, oh, you believe in that? I believe in that. You believe in Chevys? I believe in Chevys. You know, you believe in Fender? I believe in Fender. You see what I mean? I mean, we just go down the road until we go, oh! Well, I got news for you. That group that followed Jesus around, man, they were divided on every front to Jesus. Did you ever look at those guys? They were a mess. I mean, yeah, Matthew was a tax collector. He worked for Rome against the Jews and ripped them off. Can you imagine? And one of them was a zealot who fought against the Romans. Can you see him and Matthew walk along together? Matthew's going, this guy's going to get me sooner or later. The other guy's going, I'm going to ditch you. But you know what? Jesus brought them together. When we come together around Jesus, and not just around Jesus, around the table of the Lord, around communion. Do this. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this, showing forth my death. One is, and you know, we're talking about earthen vessels. One is, lose your life as source. Lose your life. Replace the source in you as you, and put my treasure in you. Put my eternal life in you. Death. By replacement. Death by exchange. Death by losing yourself as source, your ideas, your plans, not my will. And put the treasure in there. And the other one is changing form from just being an individual vessel to a body where you become a loaf. One loaf, which we're going to see next in the scripture. Where all of a sudden there's a death to your form. All right, let's go ahead and look at that. That's over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's just read 16 and 17. Ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16 and verse 17. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. All right. In verse 16, that the very beginning, it starts talking about the cup. And it starts talking about drinking of this cup. And it starts talking about, there's a whole, let me tell you, maybe if I get a chance to read it anytime soon, I'll go further. There's good stuff. I got shivers right now. Now I'm telling you, there's some good stuff on the table of the Lord that I'm not going to be able to share today. Really, really good stuff. I mean, I'm just telling you, this is so good. But it relates to some of this. I'm going to hold back on that. But the cup is partaking of His nature and His life. It is pouring out of and into your vessel. The life is in the blood. And you're drinking His blood. And that means you're partaking or pouring His. When you take communion, you're saying, here's His life, here's my vessel. His life in my vessel. Okay? And it is, I live now by Him. Paul said, not I, but Christ. Okay? Death by replacement. pouring in,
the other going out.
Okay? Carolyn gave me a good example the other day. She said, if I have certain bottles and stuff I want to clean out, I don't just try to get in there and scrub it. She says, I'll turn the water on real hard and stick the bottle up to the thing and let the water keep flowing in there and then flowing out until it cleans itself out. So that's even more than being filled up, isn't it? Because you can have sticky, yucky, you know, the thought that comes to my mind is baby bottles. Mm-hmm. That's what I remember. Easy to hang on them all, but I remember. You know, the milk, you get all whatever and stuck to the whatever, and you can walk over the sink and fill it up. Would that clean it up? No, but you turn it on and you let it just flow, man, and just flowing in and out, and just flowing, and it just cleans it right up. Okay? So, we're talking about death by replacement. Flowing, life flowing in, you flowing out. Alright? So, that's what it starts with. When the cup of blessing is not the communion of the blood of Christ, but then, from there on, where it says the bread, from then on, all the way through 17, he's talking about the body. He says, the bread which we break is not the communion of the body of Christ. So, bread equals body. Alright? Wine equals life. His life. I guess we should say his body, his life. Alright? Does that help a little bit? Alright? For we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Alright. You remember when I shared on the class, I can't remember the scripture now, it's been a while since I shared it, but I think it was out of Isaiah, where it says, bread corn is bruised. Yes. Remember that? What does that mean? We said, what does that mean? Well, it means that to have bread, it comes from wheat. And you take a whole bunch of wheat seeds, a whole bunch of individual seeds, and you put them together, you put them in this little container, and they used to have what they call a pistol back then, but it wasn't a gun, it was just a thing that you beat those seeds up and crushed them up until what? They lost their individual forms as a seed. Okay? Then they were all mixed together with some other elements and they were cooked just right until bread came forth. Okay? When you picked up that loaf, you didn't go, well, look at all the little seeds. I know that you're probably into rye bread, so you're going, that's good. That's wrong. But I'm sorry, it's not right. This is right, and this is talking about every one of them being broken up from their form. So we're talking about death by, you know, here's the bread here. We're talking about an individual seed here being broken up and being formed into a loaf. Okay? But all of the seeds being broken, being crushed up. And so we're talking about death to our form. To become body. Not just body. Not just, body of Christ. I'm the body of Christ. No, you're not. We're the body of Christ. I'm the body of Christ. No, you're not. I'm the body. No, you're not. No. We're the body of Christ. Okay? But I got news for you. We're not the body of Christ right here. Now this is the part I threw at you about a year ago. This is not the body of Christ. This is where the body of Christ manifests. The body of Christ is exactly what Jesus said in John 6, where he says, we were raised up, and then it goes on to say in Ephesians, and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ, because there all of you and I, Jew and Greek and bond and free and bound, we're all crushed up and brought together, and there Christ is all and in all.
Yes.
Now that's not true right here. Christ is a bunch, but he ain't all here. Don't look at me like that. I'll make you stand up. I'll tell everybody what's wrong with you. I mean, it ain't all Christ. It's all and in all. I mean, it ain't here and it ain't there. I know that. But you know what? There's a wonderful reality that that is done in Christ, and that if we live according, if we live here, here's Him, and then here's us, and we live in Him, and we let Him live in us, this is the table of the Lord we're talking about here. If we do that, then we begin to enter into the communion of the Lord, where there's bread at the table of the Lord, folks. Okay, there ain't Cheetos. Okay, which is just basically air, by the way. You're paying for a whole lot of air.
Yes.
If you broke all them Cheetos down, you know what I mean? Those people are smart, okay? They're making you pay for air that's free. But it's not Cheetos, it's not burritos. There is bread at this table. And if you're going to commune with the Lord, you're going to have to eat this bread. It says we're partakers of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is actual communion. I don't care how many times you eat bread and, you know, turn that little cup up. You haven't really had communion. You've entered into the table of the Lord, because those are symbols of something that this represents. And it represents the body of Christ, because it says right here, for we being many are one bread and one body. And He doesn't see the body as this gathering. This is not the body. He sees the body He sees is gathered in heavenly places, and there, when you gather there in Him, and as His body, then you and I will manifest this on the earth.
Yes.
And there won't be the divisions we have to deal with, because the land to which you go is not like the land of Egypt, where there's this and that, and all these divisions and all that. But you come into a land of good land, where Christ is all in all. Takes away all the divisions.
Yes.
Same life.
Yeah.
Same body.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm telling you, this actually works. This is kind of what Paul preached.
Yes.
Yeah, it's called the New Testament in his blood and in his body. This is the new covenant. Can you see Jesus sitting there? Bread in one hand, wine in the other hand, saying, this is the new covenant. There's only two elements to the new covenant. All the stuff you're trying to do comes out of that.
Yes.
You'll evangelize because you have my life and my spirit. You'll do all the things that you're supposed to, all that's supposed to happen. But in the New Testament, there's two main elements that you need to honor. Say, well, I don't honor that. I honor family and evangelism and discipleship and, you know, honor prayer and, you know, giving, and, you know, we go on and on and on. Look, the Lord's going, well, you haven't had communion with me yet, because communion is just two elements. My life poured into you, and then your life lost. I have long desired to eat this feast with you. That's what Jesus said. I have desired, with much desire, I've desired to eat this feast. Come on. What was happening at that feast? If you just lived in the natural and you didn't see bread and wine, you didn't see these elements, and you didn't see Him seeing from another place, then all you see is, Jesus, are you stupid? You're fixing to walk into a trap. You're fixing to walk in there where most of the people don't have a clue what's going on. Judas is in there and he's going to slip out and go betray you. It's a mess in there, and you really desire to sit down and eat with these guys? They're going to all leave you in just a few short hours and run away and go hide. This is the group you want. This is the body? And Jesus would say to you, No, that's not the body. You know, I think Jesus would agree with you. If that's it, I quit. Has anybody ever looked at the body and said, well, if that's it, I quit? Yeah. Probably most of us at some time or another. Because if this is it, I do quit. In fact, I brought my resignation. Right? This isn't it. There is a gathering in Him as Him. Glory to God. And it's His life where Christ is all in all. And for all those that begin to commune with Him in that, we feast at this table in that, it begins to manifest right here on the earth. And all the divisions and all the problems that are earthly begin to go away, because this is bread from Heaven, glory to God. Yeah.
In John, where you're reading that a little bit earlier, verse 33 says, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world." And then in Revelation 21, that body is finally seen, and it said, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven." Amen.
Amen. Well, you know what, I'll tell you, that whole sixth chapter, I could just go nuts. I mean, you ought to read it in light of what's being shared right now. In fact, forget the sixth chapter. If you go from 4 to 5 to 6, or if you just took the beginning of 6, because it starts not with Jesus talking about the bread of life, but the feeding of the 5,000, and the gathering, the true gathering. He didn't say gather the disciples. And so gather the multitude. He says, gather the fragments. Don't let anything be lost. And later on, they're in the boat, you know. They're in this boat, you know, and there's 12 baskets of bread everywhere. And Jesus said something about the bread. And they go, "What are you worried about the bread? We got plenty to eat, Lord. It's going to be cool. It's cool." They don't understand why Jesus is so concerned about the bread, because that represents his body. He's not looking at these guys. And I'm not looking at you.
Yes.
And you need to quit looking at everybody else. And you need to see the true bread, and you need to let it come down from heaven. You need to see the living reality, and you need to commune with him in that, and you need to have a relationship with him in that communion. And when somebody says, "Well, don't you have anything to eat?" You don't go, "Oh, I'm famished. This place only gives me Chinese food." You say, "Let me tell you, you know why I'm hungry? Because I chose to follow God's will, and I'm not hungry. You know, I'm eating stuff you don't even know about. I'm doing his will, not my will, and that's why I'm here. That's why I'm in dire straits at this moment, but my God will take care of me down here while I live with him up there."
Amen.
Now, that's the truth. You say, "Well, that sounds real good, but you ain't." Well, I have. I ain't right now, but I have, and I've done it enough where if I do, I won't. I know it. Everyone understood exactly what you said. Everyone. I know that you do. It actually made sense, but I'm not going to explain it to you because we need to move right on. Alright. There really is so much good stuff, and I truly believe that if I unleashed most of you to just share something from the Word, you could share some really good stuff along this line. But let me see if I can go ahead and finish here. 1 Samuel chapter 20. Now I want to share with you, let's see if I can just take some of this away while you're turning there. 1 Samuel chapter 20. Alright, you remember all that we've written up here, all that we've talked about so far today. I want to bring about an understanding of communion, of the table of the Lord, by using God and David and Jonathan. Remember these guys? God, David, and Jonathan. Now, David and Jonathan was Saul's son, which in the natural there should be absolutely no fellowship. There should be no communion. But this table that we eat of is open to whosoever will, and it will receive his table. And his understanding, his view of these things. Right. So what we're going to do is we're going to start seeing this relationship between David and Jonathan in relationship to the wine or the life, eternal life, and how that works in you, and according to the bread. Right. Or in relationship to true communion and the true table of the Lord. All right? Click in at verse 32. Of 1 Samuel 20. Well, did I go to the wrong place here? Let's
see, I searched all this out this morning. And last night, and I have got the wrong church here.
First part
we're
talking about the table,
keepsake. Yeah, that's not where I'm going though. There's a, let's see. Let me look around. I'm sorry. I usually go over and over my scriptures because I'm looking at them just before I do it. I'll tell you what I'm looking for. If you're, it should be right in this area, and I might have just overlooked it. It's the scripture where David and Jonathan are talking, and they're basically making a. It's 42. In 1 Samuel 20, 42. And 32. Yes, you're right. It is also 18, and I'm going to go there. Okay, 1 Samuel 20:42. And Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever.'" And he rose and departed. Jonathan went into the city. All right, they have just made this covenant. They have just built this beautiful relationship that we're going to really begin to see. But David and Jonathan have a tremendous relationship. But folks, it ain't just a tremendous relationship. It is a relationship of the table of the Lord. It is a true relationship of communion. They have entered into the table of the Lord. There's not all these special things in the scriptures. There's just the Lord, his understanding and relationship, and shadows of that through which you come into that. You don't go over to David and Jonathan, they had stuff we could never have. No. This is the table of the Lord. Alright? So They're going their separate ways, and basically, I mean, they, you know, we'll see that they really loved each other, but we'll see that they didn't really get to spend a whole lot of time together. Okay? But they had something of life that was above this planet.
Yes.
Above this earth. Above just day-to-day contact that made me feel special and made me.
Amen. Come on. Yes.
Huh? There was something that made them feel special all the time because it was always special. It was always in the Lord. And that's what they say right here. You know, we read this, "The Lord be between thee and me, and between thy seed and my seed," and that sort of thing. But here's what they're saying. He's saying, "The Lord be between us." Now here's one way of saying it as wine, or as eternal life, as wine, as living by this thing, is the Lord, as wine poured into me, is poured out of me towards you, and the Lord, as wine, is poured into you, and then poured out of you, and the Lord is what is between us.
Yes.
So that's what it says. The Lord be between me and thee. Alright? That's when everything's flowing as wine. Alright? If it's not flowing, and you got David here, and you got Jonathan here, then the Lord be between us. As mediator, as life, as the one who will keep us apart until we are together. But will keep us together until we're flowing again. The Lord is between us. The Lord is not just with us. The Lord is between us. And the true flow of wine is this way right here. The Lord be between us. He didn't say, "Okay, just you and me." They made a true relationship. They made a godly relationship. They didn't link arms and go, "You and me forever, baby." They said, "Put the Lord in between us, that the Lord be between us." The Lord be between us. The Lord be the thing that bonds us together. The Lord be the thing that causes us to have a relationship. Whatever relationships you have, the Lord ought to be there, don't you think? Huh? I just believe He ought to be in the middle of everything that's real. But you know what? We make a whole lot of bondings and relationships and unions where we do that where the Lord is not in between us. The Lord is not there. The Lord can come and talk to you about it, but it's you and that person, and boy, that's all that's really important to you, and that's all that's necessary, and that's all that, you know, and that's wrong.
And it may even seem to stabilize you, but I want you to know that it's not stabilizing you at all. It is weakening you. Because here's your stability. Here's your stability. So anything but having that, and they hit it right. There was never a problem between Jonathan and David. And there should have been, because Jonathan kept hearing all the junk that Saul said, okay? Then just because he had this table of the Lord with David, didn't take away all of Saul's words that were constantly being fed to him. Because you can search the scriptures again. I can't read all this for you. I'm just telling you it's all there. But I'm telling you that Jonathan was exposed to words all the time. Voices, and, you know, this is men, don't trust that David, and all this kind of stuff. But their relationship never, ever, ever broke, because it was the Lord that was between them. Okay? But it was more than between them. It was as wine. It was life in them. It was partaking of eternal life, and that being their relationship. Okay? All right, let's look in chapter 18 now. Verse 1. Now we're going to talk about, we talked about the wine, now we're going to talk about bread. And it came to pass, when he had ceased speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit unto the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Alright, so there is this relationship of, let me draw this just a little bit differently so that you can see it, and I'll try to express what I'm drawing on the board here. It's the same thing, circle of God on top, labeled Lord, David on one side, Jonathan on the other, and we drew the arrows going down through David toward Jonathan and going down from Jonathan toward David. That was the wine. That was the wine. And in their true relationship is understood by this. This is still his wine. Bring up the bread. Their true relationship is understood by this. The Lord is the life here. And the Lord is the life here with Jonathan also. The Lord is the life of both of them. He is eternal life. He is wine. They both drink of that same life, that same wine. Okay? Whether they ever saw each other, ever knew each other, that is their sustenance. That is their meat to do the will of God, to take in his life. That's not hard. That's basically what we teach right here. It is each one of them. Now, once they've got that, they've only partaken of the wine. For each person must partake of the wine. Okay. Each person must drink in the life of the Lord. And he must be the thing by which we live. Not by bread alone. But by this first. Okay? Alright, I drew a couple of those. Bunch of little circles here, so I have to make sure that I get it. Alright, so now it says, and it came to pass when he had ceased speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Alright, something new is happening here. These two can walk independently loving God and having a relationship where they never, circumstances in life, never brought them together. Did you hear what I just said? They each have a relationship with the Lord if circumstances never brought them together in life. Okay? They can both live for God and love God and go after God and on and on and on and on. And that's a wonderful truth. However, God wants to continually bring us past that. So now we have a knitting that begins to take place. Alright? And this knitting begins to be what the body is, the bread is. There's a knitting that takes place this way between the two of them. And it says, Jonathan loved David as his own soul. Because, why? Alright, let's draw it a little bit different way. Here we have David, little circle is David, plus Jonathan, little circle is Jonathan, equals, in light of this, bread. How does that equation work? Because this seed has lost its form. Still has wine. It still has its relationship with God. It has lost its form as an individual seed. This one has lost its form. And they have come together as one as bread. And therefore, this part part of the bread over here loves this part of the bread over here as its own soul because it is itself. It's the same principle that says where Jesus now has joined us and we're in his body, and it says no man ever yet hated his own flesh but loved it and cherished it, but even as Jesus does his body, his bride. It's the same exact principle. One reason why Jesus doesn't just rip your head off is because you're his body. And it would hurt. You know, or rip your arm, and this arm! Ah! You know, pull his own arm off and go, this stupid arm needs to shape up! Yeah. What? Why is this? Oh, this is me. You know? And so, because he loves it and cherishes it. Okay. Well, guess what? If you start partaking of his life and wine in you, you'll start conforming to him. You'll start being individually, you'll start conforming in nature and begin to be as the lamb of, or the bride of the lamb. You'll be as the bride of the lamb or one that's in union or communion. Hello? Communion. As one who is him, with him, of him, by him, through him, all things. Okay? And then, when you see it's been brought together in a body, then the bread which we eat, is it not the communion, not of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, but the communion of the body? The communion of the body. This is what we see with David and Jonathan. First, they had the Lord between them, and the Lord is preeminent in their relationship. But now, all of a sudden, we see them coming together, and there's a love as if it was their own. Now, you know, Paul said, "We don't know any man after the flesh, though we knew even Jesus after the flesh. But if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He's no longer an individual form." Old individual dividing points have passed away, and all things have become new, and all things are of him. That's not true right here in this gathering. It's true up here in this gathering where we gather in him, we see the truth, we commune with the truth, we walk in it, we conform to him in that, until one day we look like the bride of Christ, we have his nature, we have his way, we move in the way that he moves, and as we relate to one another, we're relating based on up here, but as we relate to one another, we're not relating based on what we see, feel, taste, and touch. We're relating on what rules. And he ruled. See, you can say in church in America, Jesus is Lord. And everybody goes, yeah! What does that mean to them? Well, he rules over the devil that tries to hurt me. He rules over sickness that wants to make me sick. He rules over my billfold when I need money. How about he rules in you? How about he rules by his nature? How about he, you know? Well, you know what? He's not going to rule in you first. He rules in a realm in Christ. He rules there. Christ is all and in all. He ain't going to be all and in all. He ain't going to be Lord one day. He ain't going to get a hold of this thing, get a handle on this thing. It's settled. And those that will live with him there, I and you and me, have come into the communion of the table of the Lord. They have entered into the feast. And they will come down like the bride of Christ. Who is the bride of Christ? One? Many that are one. Is that right or wrong? It's right. What's another name for that? Many that is one. Bread. Because why? Bread is the body. What's the life? The body. Is that right or wrong?
Yes.
Or maybe it was that. Yeah. I mean, bread is the body. He said, "This is my." He held the bread. Says, "This is my body." And then when you know, when the wife is the body, it says that the wife is the body. you know? And he says, of us, the church, the bride, you are my body. Is that right or wrong? All right. So you know why you have problems, and you know why you're probably going to still go out of here having problems? Because just teaching this doesn't solve anything. You have to eat this. You have to be hungry. You know what? A baby is satisfied with milk. Mm-hmm. It's satisfied. Doesn't want meat. Doesn't want to do the will of another. My need is to do the will of another. Doesn't want to do the work of another. A baby satisfied with milk. Give me milk. I want milk. I'm satisfied. Make me happy. You know? That's what satisfies. But that is not what satisfies somebody that starts maturing. When you start maturing, you'll find some differences happening inside of you. And you'll go, I am no longer satisfied with this. I am not satisfied with this. And I will not be satisfied until I have eaten at the table of the Lord. You know, that woman said, you know, she came to Jesus and she was from a foreign country. And she said, Lord, da, 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 da. He said, I came for Israel, not the Gentiles and stuff. You know, the Gentiles were called dogs back then, you know. And she said, but even the dogs eat from the trash from the table. Well, you know what? Jesus, I'm going to give you a little progression here real quick. Can you just think about it? Lazarus, Mary, Martha. Martha, her relationship with Jesus was she loved Jesus and Jesus loved her and she served him faithfully. She was not evil or wicked or anything else. Martha loved the Lord. Okay? Mary, she was not the pinnacle of everything, but she got at his feet and she heard his word. And she put his word in hearing him first. But Lazarus sat at the table. It says that, by the way, several times. Right? But Lazarus sat at the table with Jesus and they talked and fellowship. Okay? He wants you to come to the table of the Lord.
Yes.
Alright? I'll give you one more scripture here that's in chapter 23. And then we'll close out. Is this good stuff to anyone? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Chapter 23, let's look at verse 16. I think this is just a really, really beautiful scripture. This is, let's see the progression again. The first scripture we talked about, the Lord being between them, okay? The Lord flowing out of them as wine, okay? Everybody with me on that? The Lord flowing out of them as wine, or into them as wine, and then out of them as life toward one another. The Lord be between us. Okay? The second one was that they loved, you know, Jonathan loved David as his own soul, but he didn't just do that as an individual thing. They had begun to be brought into bread, and you love that which is the Lord, because that's his body, and you love that which is you because you understand, you truly understand. It's not a theology thing to you. You eat this, you don't think it. I'm telling you the truth. This is about partaking of something. It's not about thinking or believing things as we understand belief. It is eating. This is the feast of the Lord. This is the table of the Lord. You don't eat of it. All the thinking about in the world is not going to bring it about. So then their function is bread. So they're entering the communion now of bread and wine at this stage. Now we have this verse, and it says, verse 16, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the forest and strengthened his hand in God. Alright. In this relationship, the first one is wine. Who strengthens Jonathan and who strengthens David? As individuals, who strengthens them? The Lord. Why does the Lord do that? Because He is their life. The life is in the blood, and He is their life poured into them. So He's pretty much the strength of their life, period. Okay? Alright? Then, as they come together as bread, there begins to be a love for one another. It's not the love that is God in a certain sense. I mean, I think eventually it is, but I mean, it is a recognition that this is the communion of the Lord. This is the body of Christ. This is the way it's supposed to be. But then an unusual thing happens. This body, this bread, all of a sudden, one part of this bread is strengthening another part. Do you see the difference between that and this up here where He is the strength of both of their lives?
Yep.
Yeah. Now we're talking about communion. Now we're talking about full communion. Communion doing the full circle, where first you're drinking the wine, and he's your life, and you live by him. His nature, and whatever. Then, having the contact with somebody else, and they're drinking his life, and all of a sudden, God begins to build a love, because there is that body and whatever. But then, it moves into a place where, when we come together, I come, not just Jesus, but I come to strengthen your hand in God. Not just strengthen you, not just bless you. Strengthen your hand in God. We're talking about true communion. We're talking about building a relationship so much so that a flow starts happening in this thing. Now you got this going on, you got this going on, you got this going on, you got, you understand what I'm saying? There's a flow of this whole nature and this whole thing where the divisions are broke down and Christ is not just up here. He's all and in all. And this becomes him, first by spirit, because he is that spirit, he's the one, and second by body, because he is that bread. Yeah. And this is coming into communion. This is coming to the table of the Lord. This is, the, and there are a lot of people that eat the bread and eat the wine, and all they see is, you know, well, I drank this, and so my sins are forgiven, so I'm on my own, but I'm clear and free. And I eat this bread, and, you know, it represents the body, it's this body, and I came to a gathering, and so here's the body. This is not the body. This is not the gathering. This is where the gathering manifests. We gather in Him as Him. We are gathered together in the Lord, in Christ, gathered in Christ. Gather up all the fragments and bring them back together. Now, he breaks those and he shares those at different times. But when he gets through, he sees to it that the bread is gathered. Because the bread is one. And is this not the communion of the bread, which is his body? Now, I didn't read all that in Corinthians where it says, well, when you come together, you are not glorifying the Lord. Don't tell me you're wrong. It says you do this and they do that. And all these people do it. It says you have no. That's not even a gathering. You're not even gathering properly. You don't understand communion. It says you've missed communion while having communion. You violate communion while claiming, rejoicing, having had communion. But this is it. And I just saw, the Lord just moved on me last night and was just showing me this thing of David and Jonathan. And that they both had the Lord. I mean, Jonathan had the Lord. I mean, Jonathan went out on his own with an armor bearer and whooped up on the Philistines all by himself, no David. But he had the Lord. Jonathan did something that looked like breaking the law, and he stuck his staff in there and he ate some honey that he wasn't supposed to eat, and his eyes were enlightened and could see. And, you know, oh no, we're going to eat, we're going to fast. No, I'm going to feast. I'm coming to the table of the Lord. My eyes are going to be open. And I'm going to say, he did that all by himself without David, but he didn't do it without the Lord. And David was a man of God all without Jonathan. But God brought them together into a special relationship. In that special relationship, the Lord was between them. Is that not good? Not just in them, because he truly was in above. But the Lord, because of their relationship, they brought the Lord between them. Right in between. So that when you looked at them, you didn't look at them. You saw the Lord. You saw them through the Lord. Can you see what I'm saying? The Lord's between you. So when you see, if you see Him at all, you see Him through the Lord. If they see you at all, they see you through the Lord. And that's a relationship you build. But eventually then you start, then you love the whole. You love them as your own soul. You don't throw, I'm like you, you know, I mean, I love the Lord. That is the Lord. The bread is His body. That is Lord. Okay? And then eventually you don't just go, I love, you go, I've come to strengthen your hand in God. What a glorious thing. Standing up for one, strengthening one another, not just strengthening in God. And all of a sudden, communion is broken loose. And all of a sudden, feasting. And you know what? The Father feasts off of this. Mm-hmm. He feasts off of this. This is a feast to Him. It's like everybody's sitting at the table and everybody's joyful and everybody's eating and everybody's getting fulfilled, filled full. And there's no division, and there's no separation. But again, I'll just close with this, that is not here first. It is there. You must gather there. If you've been truly, truly gathered there, it'll cut down all this stuff that goes on down here. But if you've not been gathered there, no doubt of this preaching brings it to the earth. Because this is not an earth thing. It is from above first, and then it comes down like the God manifested in the earth. You are not from the earth anymore, you are from above. You've been born from above. He doesn't just say born again, he says born from above. Quit just being saved. Be from above. Hallelujah. It just occurred to me that I, at some other juncture, I will get to share the rest of this about the table of the Lord, but there is some beautiful, beautiful things. But you know, even if this was like good or good tasting, or you know, or you're tired, or you know, it was wild, or I don't know what it was. But there, you know, if you were sleeping, you didn't hardly get anything, or you were very attentive and you think you got a lot, you're not going to get anything unless you're going to eat this. Because another teaching is going to come along just a few days tonight. You know, but we're going to have more teaching, and it'll be good. And we teach and teach and teach and teach and teach. And we get some more. I think we've done it. But this is no longer about teaching. It's about eating. It's about taking something that you hear, putting it on the inside of you, chewing on it, digesting it. You know? You know what? If you flunked every class because you were still chewing on something you got the first year you got here, you're doing more to fulfill the will of God than passing every class and graduating. I'd rather chew on something that God gave me and not finish with that and not move on to something else and finally get one thing down while I'm here than have a whole bunch of stuff pass through me. That's basically what it's like. There's a nourishment here. You know, that's what they say happens if you eat real fast. We'll just go right there and there's no nourishment and everything. Well, you know, we're just shoveling it in thinking that we're getting a whole lot, when in reality you'll get a whole lot more savoring with the Lord. And in the multitude of what I've shared today, I've shared a tremendous amount of stuff. There's no way we can digest everything I've shared. I have no expectation of that. I don't know that I've digested it all. But when the Lord moves on any part of it, boy, treasure that. Just pull that up closely. Write that part down, and because that was from the Lord. That wasn't from me.
Yeah.
Get with that part. Chew on it. Savor it. And say, Lord, I want to eat this until it becomes part of me. Until it has been assimilated into my being so much so that my being is part of this. You know? But you know, we're going to have divisions, and we're going to have problems, and you're going to see this and that, and people are going to go, you know, jump on their little bandwagons and cause that as a division, whatever, and all these things, all that's going to happen. The only way it's going to be reduced is when people get serious with the communion of God. When they get serious to communion with Him, then they will not see all the divisions. You know, I can see somebody so totally focusing on the body that if they don't see stuff happening with the body, well, they're divided over that, and they may have bad attitudes for everybody that's not doing that, or the whole body because it's not doing it. You say you're for the body and do that. How can you claim your banner is the body while you're being divided? I mean, if you're really seeing the body, and you be the one person that fights. You know what I'm saying? You bought it. If you really see it, but if you don't see it, then you don't have it anymore than anybody else does. You got no more right to blame anybody else than you, you know, because you're doing exactly the same thing. But here's the fact. You can't live on bread alone. You live because Jesus said, because I live, you're going to live. Well, I am the way, the truth, the life. Just to close with this, you know, some people get stuck on the body and the body gets stuck in the craw. You ever notice the order of communion? You take the bread first and then the mind.
Why? Something gets stuck in your throat. Bread, even bread, even that which is of God, some part of the body is stuck in your throat for the life of Jesus on the Lord's Supper. The nature, the life of the wine are washed down the bread. Is that okay to say that? That's the truth. Father, we just thank you for your Son. We thank you that the picture is always and will always forever be bigger than what we see and what we think. Our little carnal views, and Lord, how prideful, how puffed up we get over seeing something we think's right or seeing something we think's wrong. Lord, what we ought to be seeing is you. Lord, I'm sorry that there are people who get offended at what I share here because I believe that the sheep that you've added here hear my voice. And I am as the shepherd to them. They hear your voice. They hear the voice of the shepherd through me. It's not offensive. It may cut across their grain, but it's not offensive. So, Lord, I pray that everyone that can hear my word, because it's your word, will feast upon it, will not find it as a bone of contention, but will find it as your life, your word to them, your word to us, your loving kindness, and never your rebuke and your dissatisfaction with us, but rather always and forever dealing with us that we might come up here, even as the Spirit said to John, come up here that I may show you, come up here that you can see. So Lord, may we hear this word. May we ingest it. May it become part of who we are so that we become bread. We are filled with the light.